Fatina Gappa's new book, Out of Darkness, Shining Light, is a powerful novel of exploration and adventure in 19th century Africa. The captivating story of the loyal men and women who carried explorer and missionary Dr. David Livingstone's body, his papers and maps, 1,500 miles across the continent of Africa, so his remains could be returned home to England and his work preserved there. Fatina Gappa is an award-winning and widely translated Zimbabwean writer. She is the author of two novels, Out of Darkness, Shining Light, and The Book of Memory, and two short story collections, Rotten Row and An Elegy for Easterly. The new book is Out of Darkness, Shining Light, and we welcome Fatina Gappa to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Joe, for inviting me.
What brought you to this particular subject and this time and what was going on in history?
Well, I would say that it was basically curiosity. I learned about David Livingstone in history, and I learned about his companions as well. But Livingstone was always at the foreground of the story. It was always Livingstone's story, and these other guys, the companions, were sort of appendages to that story. But I became very curious about why they did it. It was such an extraordinary thing. I mean, Livingstone died in what is now northern Zambia, and they walked with his body for 9 months to get to the coast of what is now Tanzania. So it was really the curiosity to find out why they did it that drove me to write this novel.
69 attendants who carried his body out of what is present-day Zambia to the coast where he was returned to England for burial. You look at that story. How much of that was known to you? How much really did you have to uncover?
Well, the only thing I knew really was that his two main companions were called Chuma and Susi, because that's what we learned in school, and that's what all the books about Livingstone say. You know, Chuma and Susi carried his body, and then sometimes they'll mention Jacob Wainwright, who was the scribe who wrote the epitaph on the grave of his heart. So that's really all I knew. And so I spent almost 20 years researching the rest of the companions, finding out who they were, what kind of men they were. I also discovered that there were women in the party, which really made me happy because I managed then to create a character, Halima, based on Livingstone's own writing about his cook, who was a woman called Halima. So I really had to start from the beginning with very little to go on.
Creating that cast of characters and this amazing cast of characters, what was that like to understand that journey of struggle and really just incredible perseverance?
Well, it was really the most enormous privilege and a lot of fun. In fact, I really had to restrain myself because initially the book was meant to mimic Faulkner. I really love that novel, As I Lay Dying. So I wanted to write a novel in multiple voices. But then at one point I had these 14 voices, and some of them sounded very much like each other, and at one point I couldn't distinguish. And I also wanted to name every single one of the companions whose names I tracked down, you know. So I had to sort of really restrain myself from going overboard because I realized that, you know, people were actually more interested in the story than necessarily the detail of every companion's last name.
Mm. You do it through journal entries and with the dates of those entries, and that allows you to kind of dip in and dip out through the story, right?
That's right. And also, it was important for me to track the journey in time, you know, because it took them 9 months, but I really wanted myself as a writer and also to give the reader a sense of real time moving. And that's what the journal sort of helps to achieve, I think.
Tell us about Jacob Wainwright.
Well, Jacob Wainwright was another very interesting character whose backstory I researched in great detail. So the British had abolished the slave trade in sort of between 1807 and 1810. But the slave trade was continuing both along the west coast and the east coast of Africa. So they sent gunboats to rescue any slaves and to arrest people who were caught slave trading. So Jacob Wainwright was actually one of the slaves who were rescued on the East African coast as they were being taken up to Persia. And, of course, then what happened to these young men and young boys is, you know, They couldn't go home because they didn't know where home was. So the British established a school in India called the Nasik School, and it was to the school that Jacob Wainwright and other young, rescued slaves were taken and taught to read and write, taught to speak English, taught Christianity, and they were also taught a trade like map reading or carpentry, and then they would come back to Africa with the explorers.
When you look at this incredible group and what they accomplished, I mean, obviously they're searching for freedom, right? That is ultimately what they're looking for.
It's really great that you say that, because it is a novel that very much grapples with the question of what it means to be free. And you mentioned Jacob Wainwright, who was this rescued slave, who was the scribe of the party, and it's through his journal entries that we see the journey when it actually begins in the second half of the book. But in the first half of the book, the story is narrated by Halima,
right,
who believes she's a slave, and because David Livingstone bought her for one of his men. So I wanted to contrast these two characters in relation to the question of what it means to be free, because Halima, who believes she's a slave, is actually the most free person in the book, because she has no agendas, and she looks at people through clear eyes. She has greater insight about people. Whereas Jacob Wainwright was this educated, Christianized man with a mission about rescuing Africans and so on. He's actually the most enslaved and the most entrapped, even though he's actually the most free person in the book.
Halima is a very funny character, really, a cook, but doesn't seem to suffer fools gladly.
Exactly right. And I wanted to give, I always try to give all my characters something that I have, So Jacob Wainwright, for instance, has my great love for the Bible, even though I'm actually now an atheist. So he's a very well-read man when it comes to the Bible. And Halima has my character in that she's a total chatterbox. And it helped me a lot to read David Livingstone's own entries about Halima. At one point, he says, she's a good soul, but she has an outrageous tongue. And then I also read Stanley's journals, and, he wrote about the time he spent with David Livingstone after he sort of rescued him in Ujiji. And he also talks about Halima. And he says, we could hear the sound of a furious gossip as we sat talking outside, So this observation about what a chatty person she was gave me an idea of the kind of woman she might have been, and I really went to town on her.
It is a 9-month journey over 1,000 miles, which is hard to even fathom.
It's actually a very short journey. I actually took that journey by plane. It's actually a very short journey. I think it's maybe 2-3 hours by plane. But of course, when they were walking, but they were walking in pre-colonial Africa. So there were no roads, there were no signposts, and they had to kind of make their way to the coast. At the same time, they could not take the most direct route, which was to a port called Kilwa, because that was the port that was a major slave trading port. So they were trying to avoid slave traders as well. So it was a highly dangerous journey. One, they didn't know they were going. Two, they might have met parties of slave traders on the way. And three, you can't exactly move around pre-colonial Africa with a dead body and expect people will welcome you into their villages.
It is. I want to get back to Jacob Wainwright for a second, because you talked about what you were allowed to because of his deep Christian faith, which really has a very much a focused impact on pretty much every decision he makes. And I'm curious what that was like for you to write, given your love of the Bible and yet your nature as an atheist.
Yeah, Joe, so at the Center for Fiction in New York, they asked me to, recommend a cocktail name, because they make you a special cocktail to honor a character in your book. So I recommended the Jacob Wainwright, and I said it should be stiff and straight with a hint of hypocrisy.
Well, I would drink that, Patina.
It was very delicious.
Set up the
but
bar.
This, to me, is the character of Jacob Wainwright. I love the Bible and I love religion, but I'm also strongly aware of the role that religion played in colonizing Africa. In fact, there's a very funny joke that Zimbabweans love, which says that, when the white man came to our country, we had the land and he had the Bible. He said, let's close our eyes and pray. And when we opened them, we had the Bible and he had the land, you know?
Yeah.
So there's this hypocrisy in that Christianity was used to justify African inferiority. And Jacob has really imbibed that Kool-Aid. You know, he has imbibed that version of Christianity that says you are black, you are inferior, you can only be, you know, saved by coming to the light of the Lord and so on. And I think it's a very hard and a very bitter form of religion. I think any religion that divides people into superior and inferior is complete hypocrisy, because I think the beauty of religion is that all people are supposed to be the same. So he has sort of like drunk that Victorian version of Christianity, and it's really made him a little bit drunk.
There's also this really interesting look at how these characters figure out what Dr. Livingstone means to them, of what their relationship is with this
guy. Absolutely, yeah. No, thank you so much for saying that, because the whole point of the novel is to have a dead Livingstone. So when he starts out, he's dead, and then they remember him in flashback, and they sort of like go over their relationships. I wanted Livingstone out of the center of this novel, but I wanted him in the memory of his companions. So indeed, the novel is also largely about how the different characters saw him. So Halima, who is this uneducated, illiterate, but very intelligent, but uneducated and untutored woman, thinks he's utterly crazy, because why would any man leave the comfort of his home to look for the beginning of a river? You know, she doesn't understand his obsession with the source of the Nile. Whereas Jacob, who is really strongly Christian and wants Africa to be saved from slavery and so on, believes he hasn't done enough to Christianize Africa. He hasn't made enough converts.
Well, the novel is just delightful and beautiful. It is Out of Darkness, Shining Light. The book is published by Scribner. Bettina Gapai, thank you so much for sharing with us. Best of luck with the novel.
Thank you so much, Joe. It was really great to talk to you.
Great pleasure. Thank you so much. Again, the name of the book is Out of Darkness, Shining Light, a novel by Bettina Gapai. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.